Welcome to the 10K Collective podcast. Listen, if you want hacks, my friend, I'm afraid you're in the wrong place. Our philosophy has grown out of the 10K Collective London Masterminds. Members, by the way, make between $500,000 and $7 million a year in e-commerce, most on Amazon. Many have doubled revenue in the last 12 to 18 months. If you're that kind of person, this podcast is made for you. We're not puritanical. We use hacks. We just don't think you should focus on them if you're building a real business. Instead, we focus on what's been proven to work in the group. Real brand building, clear strategic objectives, courageous long-term goals, and long-range thinking. If you like that focus, keep listening, and welcome to the 10K Collective. So we're welcoming back Brian Johnson of Canopy Management and indeed sponsored Product Academy. Sponsored Product Academy? Sponsored Ads Academy. Yeah, that's the one. Which is, I know they're doing a new version 3.0 in October. So worth checking out. I think we've discussed before, if you didn't catch the previous episode, Brian and I have been discussing sponsored ads, which although it's very tried and tested and standard, there's still a lot of nuances that you need to get right. And I would say, by all means, you could DIY if you like, but you're going to spend tens of thousands of dollars on this anyway over the next few months, never mind years. So my advice would be get professional training because you're just going to have more wins more quickly. So Amazon headline ads, we are talking about that, Brian. So what are they? There's a couple of different words that people use about them. So let's clarify the terminology first of all. What are those and what are the alternative words for it?
Yeah, there are now several different ad types that Amazon offers. Probably the second most prominent one is going to be the sponsored brand ads, which used to be called headline ads. That's available both through the AMS advertising platform as well as the Seller Central campaign manager platform. It does require brand registry in order to run sponsored brand ads. What those are generally, sponsored brand ads come in three different forms, the ad formats. One is the traditional banner ad that goes along the top above the search results. Another one is a skyscraper ad, which is a vertical ad that shows up on the bottom left side of search results. And then you've got tile ads, which typically show two or three square ads that show up near the bottom of the search results. Each of these give an opportunity to kind of showcase your brand or multiple products at the same time. It allows you to edit and to post it. It's a short, you know, it's almost like kind of a Twitter title, right? A short title. And then also to set up like a main image. The general practice on this, well, first of all, let me kind of step back on this. One of the common mistakes that I see is that in early 2018, so it's been more than a year now, Amazon introduced version 2 of the headline ads, or basically when they switched over and started calling it sponsored brand ads. And it went from just that banner ad or a headline ad on top to including the vertical and the tile ads in the bottom. They did not grandfather existing, you know, those new ad types with existing or grandfathered sponsored brand ads or headline ads. And so if you're not creating new ads, new headline ads, then you're not getting the new ad types. You're getting the traditional, the banner ad along the top. The way that we handle sponsored brand ads is we take the sponsored product ad keywords and search terms that convert well, and then we use those as our keywords inside of sponsored brand ads. We don't use sponsored brand ads for just keyword, you know, bulk keyword research. That can get expensive. But you can use it for single words that are relevant to your product. You can also use it for those keywords and those search terms that have been proven to convert for your products inside of sponsored product ads, for instance. Generally, the ad click, you know, basically the cost per click is going to be lower. The competition is a little bit stiffer because there's fewer positions in order to compete against. But what you can do on that is you can set up, what I generally recommend as far as the headline ads is to add in the keywords that we know convert from sponsored product ads. Set them to maybe a suggested bid, maybe a little bit more aggressive than a suggested bid to start out. And then tune weekly from there, as far as adjusting the bids up and down based off of things like ACoS and number of ad impressions that are showing up, that type of thing. And when it comes to creating your ad, you generally will pick three products, you can pick more, but you're going to pick three products And then you're going to pick a main image and you're going to create a title. There's a couple different popular strategies on this. One is to have kind of a generic, compelling title, maybe something that, that stands out, that calls people's attention, that doesn't use the phrase, you know, the top search phrase, keyword phrase that you're going for, but maybe is trying to grab the attention of a, you know, of a shopper who's looking for one of those keywords that you're advertising for. And Amazon recommends that you use your brand logo or your main product image as the main, or basically one of your product images as your main image. I don't recommend that, actually. I recommend, most people don't realize that you can use a lifestyle image, or you can use some kind of another custom image. So what I would recommend is either using a lifestyle image, which is typically like your product in action, if you will, with a person, or use one that is somehow has a high contrast, or basically that stands out when people, you know, are visually scanning down, that it just pops out at them. Then it can also be your top selling, your best selling product main image. Maybe not the main image of that top selling product, maybe one of your secondary images of that top selling product. You'd also want to lead with, you know, sequence those three products that are showcased in that ad, lead with your top selling product. Maybe in order 1, 2, and 3, you know, your top selling product first, and then your second, and your third. If you're introducing a brand new product, then maybe fit that in the middle. So it's just position number 2. It's kind of like mixed in there. The other recommendation, that's going to help with increased click-through rate. In other words, engagement. It's also going to help with conversion rate, especially if you point it to a structured brand page or a store page. Most people don't set up their store pages, because it's kind of like enhanced brand content or EBC. It basically requires them to go through and be a designer or somebody who understands content and photo layout and that kind of stuff in order to get it done well. And so most people, that's an extra work. It's an extra cost. They never set it up, and they just send it to basically a search result list of their products within their brand. That search result list is going to have a lower conversion rate than if you send it to a nicely formatted brand or store page. The second strategy is more requires a lot more work, because it requires you to continually develop more and more ads, you know, on a daily, weekly basis that are targeted for specific keywords, and you mix the keyword into that title. Still try to make the title compelling in some way or attention grabbing in some way, but then you actually have the target keyword. That's basically a 1-for-1. That is one of the cases where I would use basically a solo headline campaign, where you're targeting one keyword or one keyword that has very close variations of that keyword. And then you actually have that keyword phrase in the title itself, and you set the main image to be relevant to that keyword. That's going to increase your engagement and your click-through. But it does require a lot more work, because you're basically creating dozens, if not hundreds, of ads instead of just, you know, one a week or one a month.
Wow. Okay. So there's a lot to take in here, and I'm busy taking notes as ever, folks. If you want to get the notes, go to 10kcollective.com, and we have some pretty detailed notes. I think probably to our own detriment, we do incredibly detailed show notes, which is a lot of work. I'm typing furiously while I'm talking to my guests. And then it's also a lot of work for our team to put them in place and edit them. But you know what? You get to benefit, you, the listener / viewer. So 10kcollective.com. If you want the ads, particularly strategies for ads like this, I should say you want the notes. So sounds like the first strategy is the main thing. So you want a generic title. You don't recommend using your brand logo. That seems like a wasted space. I agree. Unless you're Nike,
unless you're a national brand.
Yeah. And something that really pops out visually, and a lifestyle image. I guess if you can combine the two, that makes even more sense. And this specific targeting keyword, it doesn't like a lot of work. If you've got, you know, multiple ASINs, you're going to have to get a well-trained VA or even team of people to be doing this. So obviously the second strategy is a lot more work, but why would you do that? Presumably there's a lot of payoff as well, otherwise people wouldn't do it. So what's the payoff?
In either case, so in the first case, I guess kind of want to clarify the thing is that, you know, one of the things I commonly hear is like, oh, I tried a headline ad once and it didn't work, so I just don't use it. The key being is like, I tried A. It's like, we create headline ads on a weekly, monthly basis, or a couple of times a month for each product, you know, or each group of products that we have. Even though we've got, you know, we might have 10 sponsored brand ads out there already for the same product group. We're always split testing new ones so that we can constantly evolve that, continuing to increase the engagement and the conversion rates and to showcase to different types of audiences. So it don't just create one or two. Get in a habit of creating those every single month, create new ones. You know, so you basically are building this larger portfolio. You're not just shutting down the old ones and starting new ones. You're building it out and making it, much wider. The second strategy is primarily focusing on like how well can I target a very specific audience. I recommend doing that more on mid-tail and long-tail, more descriptive terms where you're going for a more specific audience that's looking for a black mattress cover, for instance. Well, make sure that your image is a black mattress cover. You know, ideally some kind of lifestyle image that includes the black color of a mattress color, a cover, or the benefits of whatever that is. It's more of you're trying to focus in on a very niche audience that's using more specific terminology. And you're catching their attention because you just nailed exactly what they're looking for. You're not just trying to shotgun, hey, I have a brand of mattress accessories. Come look to see if I have what you want.
Okay, so what are the common mistakes? I mean, you said one very common mistake is to just have one ad. I tried that once, it didn't work. That's the classic kind of weak thing to say ever. That's a bit like saying, oh, that piano practice thing didn't work. I tried that once. I mean, like, that's your clue, really, isn't it? Try 365 times and you'll find after a year it's worked better.
All the time I hear that exact same thing. So, yeah, I tried that.
Isn't it crazy? I tried that anything X, Y, or Z once is just always a clue that's the problem. Okay, so thank you. I mean, it's kind of obvious, but it's the thing that you actually know from experience. So this is, this is the brutal truth that you experience. What are the other classic mistakes that you see with headline ads? What are the sort of main errors apart from doing things once?
Just not doing the split testing, not creating new ads, one of the challenges that you have, if you've got 10 different products, you want to mix and mingle those products, because the disadvantage, one of the drawbacks, I guess, of sponsored brand ads is if you go out of stock of one product or delisted on one of those products, the whole ad goes down. And so that becomes a problem, because then, if you only had it set up on one and it was your top three, and one of those, your third one went out of stock, now your other two are not getting in the ad run. And so make sure that you are changing the order, changing the title, changing the image, changing which products you're including, you're not including, so that you've got different combinations that can run. And then ideally, work on different, especially the title split testing, where you're just coming up with different creative stuff. A lot of times, you will know when you are pushing the boundaries when Amazon is rejecting your ads, which is becoming more common in the past year, especially because Amazon has become a lot more restrictive as far as the individual terms that we use in sponsored brand ads and in sponsored product ads. Things like, booster and libido and, Halloween and, Hanukkah, some of these kinds of words, they don't allow you to, have in the title or to run ads on because of different reasons. It's religion. It's got a, that's a time-based holiday that isn't here yet. It is off a restricted type of product. There's a number of different reasons as far as why the ad would get rejected. Commonly, it's not uncommon for ads to get rejected for things where you should have known better, where you said it's like, this is the best product X, ever. It's kind of like, that's subjective. It's, it's subjective to the buyer. So you don't want to use things like, this is the best, this is the most, that kind of terminology. Get a little bit more creative than that.
Absolutely. And also, it's the weakest differentiation ploy in the world. Exactly. The best X, the number one X. I mean, yeah, measured objectively by some metric.
You can't differentiate your product. You've got a different problem.
Yeah, exactly. And if all you can say is we're the best, I mean, best for whom? For what purpose? I mean, that's meaningless. Like, this is the best fork ever. Well, no, if it's just somebody blind who might stab themselves with it because it's really strong surgical steel with a sharp blade, that's terrible. You want a plastic fork that breaks easily. But on the other hand, if you're cutting a steak, that's not a good, so it depends. In other words, it's context again, isn't it? In the end, best is very subjective, but you could possibly say extremely good for X, Y, and Z person do, ABC task, right? And that again comes down to that.
You've got to be able to differentiate in less than 100 characters.
Yeah, Absolutely. And that's when images can do the job for you really quickly, yeah, right? Exactly. They're the most efficient thing. But yeah, well, thank you for that. So ad rejection. And also that reminds me a little bit of Google, where, you know, as Amazon is having said in the last episode, don't just carry across Google best practices because they're not best practices on Amazon advertising platforms. But nevertheless, there is a bit of a trend for Amazon to follow Google, who have been around for longer and have been specializing in advertising for longer anyway. And so, yeah, the sort of precision.
That one day Amazon, that strategy doesn't work well on Amazon.
Okay.
Yeah. It's part of evolution of it. Yeah.
Exactly. And the thing is that in a way it comes down to things that are quite predictable, which is if you make ridiculous claims like the best XYZ ever, or you're just completely random in your targeting, or you're doing something ridiculous like trying to sell Christmas goods in January. I mean, in a way, it's all just common marketing common sense anyway. So they're trying to stop you doing something really dumb. So it doesn't sound very restrictive. And I guess, you know, if they restrict it, then you just try something different, right? So so let's haven't talked about a lot about what Amazon, what headline ads are and some of the ways to implement them. I suppose we should backtrack and say, okay, look, we've talked about headline ads, but when should we use them? I guess we kind of probably should have said that first, but what are people using them for? And what equally you've said already when we shouldn't use them, which is, you know, it's not for research because it's too expensive. When else should we not use them? So let's look at the when to use, when not to use question.
Well, I mean, there's certain restrictions. You know, you do have to have three products in order for it to in order to be able to run those. Now, there's obviously there's ways of getting around that from a standpoint of, you know, how do you create, you know, virtual variations or basically faux variations of your product so that you've got like different package sizes and that kind of stuff. But let's say I have one product that exists. There's different ways of getting around that, of course. But generally, if you are working on developing your brand, you may not have, I see it's pretty common where somebody says like, well, I'm developing my brand. It's like, you've got three products, you know, and you're known nowhere else except for Amazon. It's like, you're not at the brand level yet. I appreciate that's where you want to go. You're not really a brand yet, but you're just kind of like, you know, you're laying the foundation for that brand. You do want to use it when you've got enough products that are similar that you can promote. I wouldn't use it for products that have poor review ratings. We do see that, you know, we certainly see headline ad, you know, basically it's headline ads where it's like, oh, look, there's a 2-star, 2.5-star, 3-star product label. So it's like, I wonder how many people actually click on that ad. Because you're basically spending dollars to get them to your page to showcase your worst products. It's like, yeah, it's probably not going to convert. You know, so I mean, ultimately, you can wait until you have the minimum number of products and that you actually have a decent social proof as far as the reviews on your products. You know, I would say, you know, make sure you've got some decent quality images, you know, main images to start with, which I think most people are getting to.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. So you need to, in other words, you need to be enough products and enough social proof for it to actually work, right? So if you're not going to get any traction when somebody sees your ad, they're going to go, ugh, that's horrible, and not click on it. Or in a way, even worse, clicks on it and then just never buys. Then I guess it doesn't make any sense to advertise anywhere anyway, does it? It's particularly not Amazon headline ads. Listen, Brian, we could talk about this stuff all day. I know you're a busy guy and you've got your agency to run, so we ought to let you head off and do that and let people go and absorb some of this stuff they've taken from you. If people want to, obviously this is a very complex technical area and you have a great knack for putting things in a nice, comprehensible way, which is great. That's not always guaranteed with people who are good at sponsored ads. There's some people that make my head hurt, but you have a good knack for that. You're obviously very good at explaining this stuff. How can people find out a bit more from you if they want to get some training from you, either just more information or more formal paid training if they want to find out more?
Certainly. So, I mean, certainly, you know, probably about the time that this rolls out, then, you know, obviously Michael will have the link for Sponsored Products Academy 3.0, which we do plan on launching October 2019. That's going to be fully updated, all new content. That's going to be a great opportunity. It's usually very dense. So our last two courses, version one and version two, we're both in the 15 to 16 hours of edited video kind of dense. So if you really want to master a topic, this is the level you go with. Secondarily, of course, is, you know, for those of you who are getting started out and don't necessarily have you know, some basic software. Of course, PPC Scope is my ad management software. Welcome, you know, to try that out. It's a free trial, all that. For community, certainly on Facebook, the Amazon PPC Troubleshooting Facebook group, we've got about 16,000 sellers in that group just talking about advertising alone. So it's a pretty darn good active community to get some of your basic questions, learn the basics, the frequently asked questions, all that kind of stuff that obviously Michael's not covering here. There's a good chance that somebody can ask you your question. You'll probably get 5 different points of view on it too.
Wow. Yeah. There's no doubt of that in a Facebook ad group, a Facebook group rather than Deals with Ads. So let me just give you a couple of URLs, folks, to click on if you want to check more of that out. And the first thing is we're going to put the link for the Sponsored Products Academy at amazingfba.com/SPA, S for Sponsored, P for Products, A for Academy. The PPC Scope software that a lot of people I know use and find very helpful, amazingfba.com/PPC Scope. That's Papa Charlie Scope. And then the community, what was the name of your Facebook community again?
Amazon PPC Troubleshooting.
PPC Troubleshooting. Excellent. No, that sounds really, really good. I mean, I suggest, you know, it's probably easiest to go on Facebook and look for that, but we'll put links in the show notes as ever. So plenty of ranging from the free to the done for you all the way through to the heavy training. And then I guess not least, Canopy Management, I presume, manages people's Amazon accounts.
I haven't been wearing my shirt today, so that works out. Yeah, Canopy Management, it's just at www.canopy.management. So there's no .com, it's just canopy.management. That's our site for our agency. Typically, we do work with well-established brands, but we have a phenomenal hands-on team. We have, what are we at now? We've got, 36 staff on our team now.
Wow.
We're pretty selective as far as who we work with, but in part because it's the results that we deliver is commensurate with the quality, the hands-on white glove kind of attention to detail that we have. So
nice. And one of the things I would say just to wrap up on this is that suddenly everybody is doing PPC and account management. I don't even quite know why, but what I would say is that Brian has got a very good, you know, caliber and history as a real genuine expert in this area. And one of the nice things about that is because he does training and has a community, you can really check out what Brian does and see if it chimes in with your philosophy of how advertising should be used. And so there's a great way to check Brian out before you plunge into bed with an agency, which becomes a critical part of your business. So I think you need to, you know who you're dealing with. Hopefully today has given you a good opportunity to hear Brian and his thoughts. And Brian, just remains for me to say many, many thanks for coming and sharing your expertise with us. And I look forward to hearing more about the launch in October. I mean, I guess by the time this airs, it's now, we're recording in early August, but I guess we'll be getting this out in October. So we will email and generally sort of put notes on Facebook around about this stuff. If it's something that interests you, then look out for emails from amazingfba.com. But for now, Brian, thank you so much for coming on.
Cool.
Fantastic.
I was very, very happy to be here and look forward to joining you again.
Excellent. See you soon.
Awesome. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to the 10K Collective podcast. I really hope you found the show helpful. I mentioned the London-based masterminds we've been running since September 2017. Members of the 10K Collective Mastermind make a minimum of about £480,000 a year, well over €600,000 or dollars. To find out more about that mastermind, go to amazingfba.com/10KC, K for Kilo, C for Charlie. £1 million mastermind members make a minimum of £1.2 million a year. That's about $1.5 million or euros. To find out more about that mastermind, go to amazingfba.com/MPM. That's M for Mother, P for Peter, M for Mother. Thanks for listening.